It is good to have you back at the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning, and we're in the middle of a Sunday school lesson on the tent of meeting. Now, you may not be as familiar with that tent as the other tent that we call the tabernacle. We are familiar with the tabernacle Moses built in the wilderness, and then the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem, but before the tabernacle was the tent of meeting. And that's what the Sunday school lesson is about. After the temple is the church that Jesus built. In fact, Jesus built his church just a few years before the temple was destroyed by the Romans. Now, you can kind of find a little connection here then between the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, which itself is later called a tent of meeting, and then the temple, and then the church, which is God's temple today, made of living stones. But before we get back into that Sunday school lesson, I'm going to read to you something from the Rockcliffe Review. It wasn't long ago we had a visiting preacher by the name of Steve Higginbotham. And since he was going to preach that Sunday, I went to the little publication that I received called The Spiritual Sword and found an article I remember he had written about the church Jesus built. And I took that article and condensed it a little bit so it would fit into our bulletin, and I want to read that to you now. The Church Jesus Built by Steve Higginbotham. Imagine if there were a way we could go back in time to the first century and be given an opportunity to speak to those people about life in the 21st century. How much of what we take for granted on a daily basis would they be able to comprehend? Imagine trying to explain television, radio, the internet, flying, light bulbs, and a myriad of other things. One can only imagine how utterly confused they would be. It would take a great deal of explanation and education before they could even grasp many of the concepts. Now, as foreign as these 21st century concepts would be to first century people, I believe explaining first century concepts to 21st century people can be just as foreign and difficult. This is certainly true with reference to the first century church. Very few people today have any understanding of the church Jesus built in the first century. All they've ever known is 21st century religion. What they know about the church is denominationalism, division, doctrinal discord, and shopping for a church that best meets their desires. For some, the church is merely a one-stop fitness center, coffee shop, daycare, weekly concert venue, and a place where they can hear brief, politically correct motivational speeches. However, this bears little resemblance to the church that Jesus built. While we have made great advancements in science and technology since the first century, it's time to go back to the first century and learn about the church Jesus built. While we have made great advances in technology since the first century, the good news is we can go back to that church. And without a time machine, we can simply open our Bibles for the answers we seek. And when we do that, the Bible will reveal the following. Consider the head of the church. The Bible informs us that Jesus is the head of the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The head controls the body. This truth has particular relevance to the 21st century church. The body needs to be following the instructions of the head, not the demands of our present culture. Consider the mission of the church. The mission of the church is singular and is to glorify God. The Apostle Paul wrote To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3:21. That is accomplished through evangelism, benevolence, and edification. Many churches today have a mission that is self-centered rather than God-centered. They're more concerned about what our non-Christian neighbors want in a church than they are pursuing the mission of glorifying God. Consider the organization of the church. Jesus willed that every local congregation be guided and overseen by elders. You can read about this in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. In addition to the oversight of elders, special servants called deacons serve and minister the congregation under the oversight of the elders. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 18. Consider the worship of the church. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. The 21st century church seems to have forgotten that not all that one may offer to God for worship is acceptable to him. Many 21st century churches need to restore the divine standard for worshiping the God of heaven. Consider the rule of conduct in the church. The church Jesus built should be known for its love for all men. It should be supportive, Acts 20:35, understanding Romans 3:9 through 10 and verse 23, and long-suffering, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. We should walk in love and gentleness as we acknowledge our weaknesses and imperfections and pursue the holiness of Jesus, Hebrews 12 and verse 14. The church of the 21st century has much to learn about the church that Jesus built in the first century. May God help us to honor and replicate these marks. Now, I read from the Rockcliffe Review. Because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's go back to the Sunday school lesson we've been looking at. This is a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of September the 5th, 1926. And it's about the tent of meeting. And we were talking about, when we left off the last time in this lesson, about the time Moses went up into the mountain. Now, the children Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders of Israel were to go up on that mountain with Moses, but only part of the way up. And then Moses and Joshua were called to go up further. Jehovah then told Moses to come up to the mountain that is higher up to hear him and be there, saying, "And I will give thee the tables of stone," instructing all to remain there until he should return. Moses, with Joshua his minister, ascended the mountain to the cloud, the glory of Jehovah abiding upon Mount Sinai. They remained there 6 days. And on the 7th day, Jehovah called Moses out of the midst of the cloud into his glory on top of the mountain. It seems Joshua remained where he was in the cloud, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. In Exodus chapter 25 through 31, we read about the directions from Jehovah to Moses for the construction of the tabernacle, including its furniture, the priestly garments, and the consecration of the priest. You might want to, if you're the teacher, place emphasis on the following declaration: "According to all that I show thee, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the furniture therefor, even so shall ye make it. That's Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9. When Jehovah had finished giving these directions, he gave Moses the two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders did not remain on the mountainside as Moses directed. Having heard Moses to act as the mediator between them and God and to speak to them for God, the people began to complain at his delay in returning from the mountain and to use it as a pretext for their sin. They said to Aaron, "Up, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him." Exodus 32 and verse 1. Well, then we read that the children of Israel had been idolatrous in Egypt. We know that from Joshua 24:14 and Ezekiel 20 and verse 8. And they returned to their idolatry. Exodus 32 gives an account of the fact in their sin of making the golden calf and the consequences of this sin. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, 39 and 40, says that this people thrust Moses from them and turned back in their hearts toward Egypt. Aaron said, "They were set on evil," Exodus 32 and verse 24. But Aaron himself was not guiltless. He offered a most flimsy and shuffling excuse for this enormous sin. Jehovah was very angry with Aaron to destroy him, and Moses prayed for him. At the same time, Moses said to the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin. All this was ingratitude and unfaithfulness in the people, because they did not patiently await Moses' return and did not trust God who had delivered them out of Egypt. It was rejection of God, because he'd promised to go before them, and his glory was there before their eyes on the mountain." Now, under this hints to the teacher part of the Sunday school lesson, we have a title here called An Aid to Worship. Now listen to this. Aaron said to the children of Israel, that's when he made this golden calf, "These are thy gods," or as in the margin, "This is thy God, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Aaron evidently intended them to worship Jehovah through this idol, a visible representation. Hence, he built an altar before it and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to Jehovah," Exodus 32, verses 4 through 6. The altar was for offerings, and the golden calf was an aid to the worship of God. Several years ago, we read in Publius's notes, he said, "So those that bow down before crucifixes, images, paintings, relics, altars, and shrines plead, as they do, as an aid to the worship of the true God. Those who use instrumental music in the worship today claim it is an aid to do that which under Christ must be in spirit and in truth." Now we're going to look at the explanatory notes, and I'm going to go back and read from the book of Exodus. I'm turning now to Exodus chapter 33, and I want to read verses 1 through 6, but I glanced at my clock, and I see we're being close to being out of time. So I'm going to save that, and we'll begin that then in the next class. We're so glad you're in the Warren County Radio Bible School, but we would invite you to come out and worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. We have set about to do all things according to the pattern shown to us in the New Testament. And you're going to be able to see modeled again New Testament worship. When we gather, we'll sing, we'll pray, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. and will reverence God's word.